Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
At the beginning of the year, Pastor Brad shared on Vision Sunday that he really sensed that God was speaking to us as a church this year from the book of Acts. And he talked about ever-widening circles being something that God was saying to us, that God was calling us as a church to ever-widening circles. And he also noted the pattern in Acts of God does a work within, and then he does a work within so that then the influence flows outward. And there were so many other themes that Pastor Brad unpacked through the book of Acts. And I go, my gosh, looking back, hindsight really is 2020, and the pun is completely intended there, that my gosh, God, you are saying something to us in this really bizarre year that is 2020, that you were very purposeful, that you were doing something very powerful in the midst of it in the lives of those that call Horizon home, and in our church. And I look at what's happened with campuses, both Dunsborough and St Andrews, just flourishing. I look at many people being added, even in a season of restriction, many people finding Jesus. And I'm like, God, you were serious when you said ever-widening circles. You were dead serious. And so I thought, I better go back to the book of Acts. I'm going to actually have a read through it. I just want to hear the echoes of what your Holy Spirit's saying to us. And so this morning, I actually want to preach from a story in Acts. We pick up and Paul and Silas have gone into the city of Philippi, and it is a tremendous ministry high. There is miracles, there is signs and wonders, there is salvations, there's great influence. Wherever they go, they preach and people come to know the love and grace of Jesus Christ. It is a ministry high point. And in it, there is a young woman who is just under dark oppression. She is she's a slave owned by a rich and wealthy person, but as well as being under the domination of a master, she actually has some dark and demonic oppression going on in her life. And it's the way it was manifesting as was seemingly being able to tell the future, looking like she knew what she was talking about, predicting things by the power of darkness. And she's following Paul and Silas around, and I'm like reading between the lines and going, she is seeking freedom. She is passionate about seeking freedom. She just wants to be where there's freedom, and who knows, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? And so they actually ultimately end up casting that thing out of her and freeing her life from that dark power. But what ends up happening is the whole thing rears up on them, and because her owner was exploiting her and making a lot of money from the bond that she was in and the oppression, using her for a purpose. The owner just loses the plot and stirs up a revolt against them in the city, and they end up being incarcerated, flogged, put in chains, and that is where we pick up the story. Interesting little diversion. Isn't it interesting that things can look so good? Things can be so tempting. You know, she was telling the future. It looked legit on one level, like there must be something to this. But really, she was in deep, deep bondage. And when freedom comes, you know, the enemy gets real cranky, you know? And it's like this clash of kingdoms going on. And it really reveals what God is all about. God is about making you more who you meant to be, who you created to be, to free every part of your life, literally, so that you are bold, that you are living freely and lightly, no matter what the circumstance. Incidentally, it's not circumstantial, this kingdom of light. It's something that completely supersedes anything that is circumstantial. And it's so revealing that when she gets free, her owner arcs up and no longer is there. He's not able to exploit her because she's been freed. That's where we pick up, but that's a diversion. So Acts 16:23. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came off. Isn't it interesting? On the basis of their prayer and praise, in a time of great darkness, in a time of great bondage, in a time of what seems a really deeply unjust situation, everyone is freed. You know, it's even interesting, the jailer who had one job but is now fearing for his life. You know, mate, you had one thing, just guard them, keep them safe, and he is now fearing for his life under the Roman system. Paul and Silas actually lead him to the Lord and his whole family, so that ends up happening. Not only that, they are vindicated and escorted. So they're told, oh my gosh, we're so sorry, you're a Roman citizen, and they're freaking out, and he gets a personal escort out of the prison, and he's completely cleared of the so-called crime. It's so interesting, all on the back of a very unjust situation. So it's so interesting that we don't find Paul and Silas in a high point of ministry. In fact, it's the highs and the incredible lows, and this seems sometimes to be the Christian journey, doesn't it? That we don't meet Paul and Silas just in the high point, but it's in the darkest place where they've been unjustly and brutally treated. And I've got to say, they would have every reason to say, God, did we miss it? Were we meant to go to Athens? Like, what? Why am I here in the inner cell of a prison? Like, all we did was preach the name of Jesus, set people free, set this slave girl free, and here we are. But in the middle of this most barbaric trial, we see them refusing to let go of the grace of God, and in fact choosing in the most overt possible way, with everyone overhearing, to remain in him. And I want to look at this this morning because I want to know how it all works in darkness. How does this Christian journey work when the circumstances don't stack up? I don't want to just know when the outcome is favourable how it works. I don't want to just know how it works when the diagnosis is a clean bill of health, or when the family is restored, or when the outcome I want is happening. I actually want to know, God, how does it work in the dark? You know, 2020 has been an interesting year, and we're just constantly referencing, aren't we? Like, it's just the most extraordinary set of circumstances, and even Pastor Adrian over communion referred to it. There's not many meetings you'll go to or services or where it's not referred to, because it's like, it's not even the elephant in the room. It's just like, it's affecting everything. And it's not that it's gone on. I feel like that it's gone on for so long, and a bit of weariness has set in. Like, God, when will this actually ever end, you know? Just this week, I'm like, God, I want to go up to Queensland. My dad's partner's been diagnosed with cancer and she's having treatment this week. I want to be with him, but at the moment I can't. You know, I've got friends that literally have battled for months to get a permit to leave their state. I've got friends stuck in Melbourne and I'm like, it has just been like lockdown central for literally months. But how in the middle of those impossible circumstances does the kingdom of God work? Well, I actually think this first century story has got incredibly powerful application for a 21st century situation. I actually think that this says so much about how in the circumstances that we are living through, what power has God given us to shake the foundations of injustice, to actually shake the foundations of difficulty. How does God set us free in situations like this? And I believe that God has put a weapon in our hands. You know, often we go, you know, God, this is all going on and I feel very, very powerless. But actually, this story says God has given the believer incredible power. No matter what the external situation, no matter what it's looking like in the natural, no matter what you're seeing with your eye, God has actually called us to walk by faith and not by sight. And he's actually given you a power when it comes to your personal devotion, your prayer and praise, to actually have an influence on how things play out. In the middle of this, you know, Paul and Silas did not actually regard their situation. They could feel it, obviously, probably wounded backs and painful feet and all sorts of things. But they actually, in the middle of it, chose to devote their hearts in the middle of a prison, you know, praying, singing hymns, not passively, not quietly, but actually in the hearing of every other single prisoner. And you know what? It actually resulted in the shaking of the foundation of the place of oppression, the whole prison system. You know, their body was imprisoned. They'd been wounded, almost fatally. They'd flogged them within an inch of their life. They were put in the inner cell of a prison. Their mobility was reduced. However, what they realized, you may actually do that to my body. You may crush my emotions and my soul and whip my back, but you will never, ever imprison my spirit. You know, as a believer, as a born-again believer, God has made your spirit alive, and there is not one thing that the enemy can do to actually crush or suppress your spirit. You know, as a believer, you will always have the power to choose to remain in Him, to actually have a spirit that is full of faith, that's enlivened, that can praise and worship, that can fill the atmosphere with worship in the Most High God. And the circumstances may be such that maybe there's limitation in the physical, but you know what? Even if the church was shut down today fully and completely, the enemy cannot imprison your spirit. But there's actually a grace that God wants to pour out. You know, it says in Jonah that those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I read that totally in reverse and go, you know what? There is a grace that can be mine if I cling to Jesus Christ through every circumstance. If I cling to Him no matter what, if I'm questioning, like, why am I here? Why is this happening? What is going on, God? Was I meant to go to Athens, not Philippi? No, if you cling to Him no matter what, there is a grace that can be yours, and that's what I want to talk about today. Let me pray for you. God, you know exactly what is going on from my left to my right, God, in every single situation. God, your grace is multifaceted, multicolored, God. It can be divided 300 different ways this morning to touch every single situation. God, I pray that you bring freedom to hearts, God, that this word would free hearts to believe again, God, would free hearts, Lord God, to pray over children that are missing at the moment, God, from you. Lord, that for those that are facing impossible circumstances, God, that this would stir faith in their spirit, Lord God, for a change in the weather. In Jesus' name, amen. First thought is prayer and praise invades the impossible. Prayer and praise invades the impossible. And we sang about this morning. I loved it. Verse 24 says, when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they're situated inside the place of bondage, but not just that, their mobility and their agency has been cut off in the binding of their feet. So what little freedom they may have had, even in that inner cell, has actually been curtailed and contained in those stocks. And when I'm reading it, I see it's such a picture of how the enemy works. It's like a situation may happen, you know, out of your control, not fair, not right, not necessarily the purposes of God. And you may question, why am I in this circumstance with this diagnosis? Why has this happened to me? But what the enemy wants to do is a double blow on you, not just put you into a place where you're under oppression or in darkness or a place that's difficult, but he actually wants to say, and you have no agency in it. I'm going to bind your feet, so I'm going to lie to you that you actually have, you have absolutely no power in this situation. So it's like a double whammy, a double punch. It's just nasty, nasty, nasty stuff, you know. And as people of faith, we can have areas of our life that are going so well, but this area where we feel incredibly powerless, like a child away from the Lord, a work situation that just seems insurmountable, someone acting in a way that's beyond our control that has an impact quite significantly on our circumstances. Paul and Silas, however, choose to actually not believe the lie that they are powerless, which, you know, it's so extreme. If anyone was powerless, it's two guys in an inner cell who have been flogged to the point of death and then got shackles in their feet. That's how extreme it is. But it's like they say, you know what, in my 21st century language, I'm not going to capitulate to Christian fatalism. I'm not just going to say, well, if we're stuck here and if God wants to free us, he can. But, you know, we'll just sit quietly and just see what happens. They didn't sit there and think, you know what, I think it's probably our time. We probably just need to lay down Silas and die and just, you know, there's no way out of here. Let's just capitulate to a really religious sounding form of Christian fatalism. And don't we sometimes do that? God, there's just nothing, you know, if you really wanted to heal me, you could. If you really wanted to change the situation, I'll just, you know, just leave it to you. But no, they heard the call. Keep praying even when difficult stuff happens. Keep praying even when difficult stuff happens. Your circumstances are a terrible indicator of the purposes of God, can I just say? They can be at times liars, you know, and we can, if we bring it down to the level of our circumstances, we will actually engage in a form of Christian fatalism. No, they heard the call. Keep praying even when difficult stuff happens. They actually elevated a truth that was much larger than the problem, that is God's power can transform any mess that he's invited into. Now, am I saying you get to control the outcome? Actually, no. You are given power by God to pray and praise, to elevate him and invite him. The outcome is his, but you are invited into a partnership to pray and praise. You know, and he is actually the only one who can address my circumstances with his love and grace and wisdom to actually turn the situation around. God transforms any mess that he is invited into. You know, when Jesus instructed his disciples as to how to pray, you know, it's the classic Lord's Prayer. And I believe it's meant to be a guide. These are the things God is inviting us to pray about. This is how God is inviting us to interact with him. And many people use it like a prescription. And you know what? That is okay. If you learnt the Lord's Prayer at school and that is the only thing and the only way you know how to pray, you know what? Go for it, because God just loves the heart. God loves you just opening up to him. But he says these two things right at the get-go. He says this, Jesus says, this is how you pray. Our Father, straight away. You know, it's not just an all-powerful God, but a God that cares enough to say, I want to be in relationship. Talk to your Father in the impossible. Tell him about what matters to your heart because it matters to him. But then he goes on to say this, hallowed be your name. Your name is above every circumstance. Your name is it's more powerful than anything I'll experience in this human life. So we have this double act combination punch of relationship and power. Power without love, you know what? No thanks. You know, I don't want to know a God that may be all powerful but doesn't love me. He's the immovable mover. No, that is not for me. But Even that Father relationship without power, you might love me, but you are impotent to do anything about my life. Jesus is like, you have a Father in heaven that loves you and has power to change your circumstances. He loves you and will invade the impossible for you. Right now with my boys, we are so passionate about equipping our sons with the power to face things that they may face in their life. And we feel like they're just like wet cement at the moment. They love songs. They're into Colin Buchanan. They're into scriptural learning and Bible stories. We've got grandparents that are great, that are supporting us in it, and they just get around them too with it. And we just want to fill them up because we want to teach them that there is a God that can invade the impossible for you. There is a God for every situation you'll ever face in this life till you live a long, long life, because you honour your parents, and that is the promise of God. If you honour your parents, you'll live a long life in the land God gave you, right? Andrew keeps on reminding me. But we want to fill them up so that they can respond and say, my God can invade the impossible. Praise, in the case of Paul and Silas, shook the foundation of the place of bondage. It broke the chains, their personal chains, and their praise and their prayer led to a personal vindication. They went free and without charge. God fought for them. Some time ago, I was connecting with a couple and they were struggling with issues of fertility, which is just so incredibly common, and my heart breaks for those that are going through that struggle. It's just heart-crushing at times. But I remember them coming to me and telling me, we've just had so many miscarriages. Like, this is just feels like a hopeless situation that we're in. And in it all, they're like, They love the Lord. They're lifting him up. They're praying. They're staying faithful. They're abiding in him. You know, I've got to say, infertility and struggles in that area is not punishment from God. I just want to cancel that thought right now. It's just not even in the heart and the mind of God. It's not a scriptural comment on your situation. But these people came to me like, can you pray for us? We are just believing God for a miracle in this area. We've been lifting him up. So we prayed and I laid hands on them and God's power was just working in them. And I just felt like God's healing the broken heart. I don't know what's going on. You know, these things take time to see if it's actually something's happening. But as we prayed, it was really obvious the power of God was doing something in their world. Well, 18 months later, I connected with them and they presented me with this beautiful 9-month-old baby called Praise. And they said, we called her Praise because we lifted him up in the midst of our need and he came through. You know, praise and prayer can invade the impossible. I had another couple friend who long-term actually passed their years of fertility belief for a child and it just never happened, but they continue to walk with God. We love you, Lord. We'll never let go of you. We don't take this to mean punishment. We trust you. You're working. You're able to come in and transform any mess that we invite you into. And it was just so beautiful this week, watching as God worked in their life to the point where this week they took home their adopted son after many, many years of believing. You know, God is able to invade the impossible for you as you abide in him in prayer and praise. You know, can I encourage you? Don't withdraw when you face opposition. Don't withdraw when the circumstances are adverse. Don't withdraw from him when the outcome is not what you believed it would be. Draw close to him because he's able to move in the impossible. Secondly, prayer and praise possesses the promise. And this is where my husband goes, a lot of peace in your message, but it's good for me. It helps me remember. I hope it helps you remember. Prayer and praise possesses the promise. It says in verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, here we find Paul and Silas in the midnight hour. And I reckon all of us have a midnight hour where the circumstances can be bad and the things around us are going on. And it's just not how we thought our life would turn out or how this area should have played out. And I feel like the midnight hour just underscores it's that time when it's just darkest, you know, where there's the mind games going on, where the enemy's saying, see, I told you this would happen, where it's just the darkest part of the story. And we find them in the midnight hour where things look the worst, where they probably had every right to say, this is not what I signed up for, God. When I said yes to the call of God, this is not what you told me would happen. You know, where they said, you know, all we did for you, God, was walked around Philippi, healed the sick, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I did everything you are. And here we are in the middle of a prison. This is not what I signed up for. Why am I here? Well, I actually want to be really real this morning and scriptural. It's good when you're both, right? and say every promise over your life will be opposed and will be tested, and there will always be that tension as you walk earth. That is the nature of two kingdoms being at war with one another or being in opposition to one another. It says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, and it's the first half is one of the most encouraging scriptures you'll find in the Bible. It says, for a great and effective door has opened to me. What a great scripture. I've had that prophesied over me. In fact, when Pastor Brad first came, prophesied over in our city campus, a great and effective door of opportunity is open for you, right? But he left this bit off, and this is what we leave off. And there are many adversaries. What the heck? You know, every time you get a word from a prophet or the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your quiet time or a scripture is quickened to you in your heart, you can hear the words, you know. There is a great and effective door of opportunity opening to you. But don't forget, there will be many adversaries. And that is the nature of what is happening when it comes to the kingdom of God. It is advancing, and it says it's advancing by force. It's taking great ground. And I 100% believe, no matter what you read in media or what you see on the TV tonight or what you're experiencing in your family, it's true that the kingdom of God is advancing and it's taking great ground in the world today. But it's not without opposition. And as we actually devote our hearts to the prayer and praise of God, He is actually able to interweave, overlap, penetrate any crisis or impossibility with His grace and love. It's actually, we are invited to actually partner with God to possess the promise, to actually implement the promise, to cry out. Can I just say here too, we are not called by God to control the outcome. That is not what biblically God has invited you into. The partnership He's invited you into is to cry out to Him, to declare His purposes, to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, to actually declare His goodness, to set in motion a reversal of all that's been opposed to God's rule, and to remove the capacity of the powers of darkness to operate in a circumstance. That's your call. That's the partnership and the nature of the thing that God has called you into, to possess the promise. And I might get the keys up, please. One of my great heroes in the faith is a lady called Lydia Prince. I've never met her. In fact, I think she actually died before I was born. But she's this incredible lady who actually came to know Jesus at the age of 36. You know, people all around the world come to know Jesus all different ages. Some know Him from a child. Some actually get to know Him in their teens and He encounters them and changes their life. Some in their 30s, some in their 80s. It's incredible the way God moves in the life of a human. But Lydia Prince came to know Jesus at 36 years old. And she was at the height of the Danish education system, highly respected, having great influence at a government level around education policies and all sorts of things. And she encounters the love of Jesus Christ and gives her life to Him. And she's in her little apartment in a really classy suburb of Denmark. And her early discipleship was literally her, Jesus, and a Bible, and the Holy Spirit enlivening the scriptures to her, teaching her, discipling her, showing her. She was spontaneously filled with the power of the Holy Spirit during that time as well. No one led her in a prayer of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She just read it in Acts, asked for it, and right there in her room, the Holy Spirit baptized her in power. And it was about this time God started showing her, Lydia, I'm going to send you. I want to send you to Israel. Started giving her visions and dreams of this place that she'd never been to. And it wasn't like nowadays you can jump on social media and hashtag a place and see what it looks like. God's showing her pictures of her future. And she's like, you know, but God, I'm so influential here in Denmark, and God calls us to great places of influence. Many will influence great places, education, politics, media, medicine, the great institutions of our society. But God said to Lydia, I'm calling you out of it and I'm sending you. And it was a great Abraham moment, you know, leave the land you came from to a land I'll show you. A lot of detail there, Lord. Anyone ever had that? God just like, just go. I'll work out the detail. I've got the details, but I'll tell you at a later date, right? We've all had those Abraham moments. And she gets sent. And she goes over in obedience and she ends up ministering to some children, both Arab and Israeli children, doing amazing things, living in a place called Ramallah, gave up everything to do it, just by faith. But she comes to a point and, God, why am I here? Like, I'm a single lady in the middle of the Middle East and it's not super safe here at this time in history. And what have you got me here to do? And He says to her, Lydia, I want to give you the mandate to pray for a nation. It was pre-1948. It was just, Israel was just about to be formed. I want you to pray for a nation. I'm just going to situate you here. I need you to possess a promise for a people. I don't want you to get political. I don't want you to seek to control the outcome. I don't want you to do anything except pray. Pray, praise, pray, possess the promise. And I've got a feeling like God is stirring something up in you to say, hey, I don't want you to get into debate with that son and daughter away from me. I just want you to pray, praise, pray. I don't want you to get in the ear of that husband and nag him and bludgeon him until he does what you want him to do. I want you to pray, pray, praise, change the atmosphere in the home. I don't want you to control the outcome of the workforce. I just want you to bring the presence of God into that place and pray through the hallways. Praise in your car on the way to work. Pray and possess the promises of God. You know, Paul and Silas in that prison, maybe God had given them great promises of further ministry. And so they couldn't control the outcome. They couldn't prison break themselves, but they could pray, praise, declare the goodness of God and possess the promises of God. You know, can I encourage you, no matter what the circumstances, call out to Him in the midnight hour. God has a promise for you to possess through your prayer and praise. And sometimes we're like, oh, am I speaking to the walls, God? Am I speaking to the thin air? You've got to know, just like Elijah's servant, like a hand the size of a fist, a cloud the size of a fist, you know, your prayers are having an effect. Bit by bit, they're changing the atmosphere over that child's life. Who's to say who God's putting in that person's life on the back of your prayers? Who's to say, as you take a scripture and declare that over your sons, that God isn't moving on your behalf, getting places that you never could go physically yourself, but on the back of you possessing in prayer the promises of God over a circumstance? Who's to say what God's doing? But finally, prayer and praise prevailed for all the prisoners. It says in verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Yes, it broke personal chains. Yes, it broke the shackles on their feet. Yes, it opened their prison door. Yes, it shook the prison they were in. But it did so much more than that. It actually freed a whole group of people. It freed the jailer's family. It freed him. It freed other people in bondage. It shook the foundations of the earth. You know, your posture of praise could bring freedom to your family. Your prayer could actually bring freedom to the generations. You know, I love the church. I don't care what you say about it or what other people are saying about it. I will always serve the church of Jesus Christ. I will serve the Lord in His local church. It's the call upon my life. But sometimes I see us as the Western church, we're like, you know what? My freedom, my comfortability, my desire, my personal breakthrough, which is good. I believe that is the heart of God for you, that God's heart beats for you. He wants you free. He wants a free and a whole and a flourishing you. That is the desire of God. But do you know it's so much more? It's not just personal chains that broke. It is that the bondage of others broke free. A whole region experienced the freedom of God. You know, the Bible sometimes is very economical. I wonder if we got a picture of the whole region, what other bondages broke off at that time? Like, what other freedom message, what other freedom power was going out? You know, if Peter's shadow could heal people, if a handkerchief could be that, it carries such anointing that people get healed spontaneously and almost accidentally. How much more as we pray and praise through all circumstances, not get weird and try and control outcomes, not get weird and pray prayers that are not in line with the heart of God, but as we pray and praise in surrender and allow God to come into the circumstance, I wonder how many will get free. But it does start with personal freedom, I do have to say. It's very, very hard to pray and praise and bring freedom to others when you've not yet found the freedom giver yourself. So I would say at this point in our service, and we do this in every service, I'm going to ask for every head bowed and every eye closed, because they're big decisions we make in situations like this, and they're very public. So to give a small modicum of privacy, I want to ask that you would bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe as I've been talking about freedom, yes, the physical freedom of being broken out of jail when you've been unjustly put in there, but also the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus internally. Maybe you're like, I just haven't experienced that. It's not been my lot in life. I've been searching. Maybe your circumstances are actually quite together, but internally something's missing. Well, this morning, we're actually going to pray a prayer inviting Jesus in. And the beautiful thing about this freedom giver, Jesus Christ, is you don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You know, that slave girl, it's a picture of our life without Jesus, under the control of another master. It may not be a physical reality, but you may be enslaved in an area of your life to worry, anxiety. Life away from God is like that. But the freedom giver wants to come in today and set you free. And it literally is a prayer away. It is a simple yes. Yes, Jesus, I acknowledge you. I love you. Come into my life. I don't know much, but I want to go on the journey with you. I never want to live another day alone without you, because true freedom is found in him. You know, it says there is freedom. Where he is, there is freedom. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. Maybe you've been lacking a peace in this season. Come back to Jesus this morning. We're going to pray a prayer as a whole church, but if you're praying it for the first time, or the first time in a long time, God will hear you. He knows you by name, and you'll become his child this morning. Let's pray, church, with passion. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Come into my life. Make me new. Wash away my sin. Clean me up. Help me. I give my life to you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you this morning and you're like, I just need to give my life back to Jesus, I'm going to ask you in a moment to slip your hand up, and that's all I'm going to do. It'll just be me and one other trusted person that will see that hand. The reason I ask is I want to pray a prayer of blessing this morning, and I want to know who I'm praying for. I'm not going to single you out. This is a personal moment between you and the Lord, but I do want to pray for you. So on the count of three, I'm going to get you to lift up your hand, and then I'm going to do what I said I'd do. I'm going to pray. One, two, three. You said yes to him this morning. Beautiful, amazing. Is there anybody else that wants to say yes to Jesus? You need the freedom he offers. You need him. Is there another? And you need to come back today. You need to join the others that have had their hand up. You need to say yes to him this morning. Would you lift your hand up for me? Beautiful. Well, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. I'm going to pray for those people. Dear Lord Jesus, you are the great freedom giver. And right now, for my friend who had their hand up, I just pray that you would break every chain, God, that binds their emotions, their heart. I break chains off their mind in Jesus' name, that they would be free to worship you, free to walk with you, God, that they would know a new level of freedom in their life. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.